Francesca present Cinema Matrimony.
Well, that was nice. We saw Ben and Tess.
What a delight.
So, welcome to Cinema Matrimony.
This is the beginning of This is the End.
What? Are you going to remember to say this is the end of This is the End when we get to the
I'm
end of the podcast? Why?
Just the trajectory of
yeah, typically that is how it goes. Hey, can you hold this so that I can drive two-handed?
Yes.
Ugh.
Well.
Well, so first off, I laughed a lot at this movie, and also I should mention before we start though, because I've kind of gone through an emotional journey going into this movie, where I was excited about it when I first heard about it. Then I didn't think I was going to like it after I saw the trailer. And then in the weeks leading up to this, and having heard some interviews and stuff, I felt a lot better about it. And I think my feeling going in ended up being how I felt coming out, which is that it was a good time. It was well written and well acted. And, you know, there were a lot of laughs. But you know... Even aside from that, like, I kind of just wanted to see a comedy that was just fun, that was a good time, and that's why I was initially worried at some level, because I felt like it wasn't going to be a good time. I felt like it was going to be too dark of a comedy, but it wasn't. So that's like sort of where I was coming from going into this movie, but I want to know your impression, because I feel like this is a very male-oriented movie.
That makes you sexist, because I also thought it was funny, and I enjoyed it. I think that...
Even the copious male genital humor?
Well, look. That's what you're in for. If it's still funny, it's funny, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that these people actually deal with male anatomy in a way that is actually funny, as opposed to just, like, it trying to be shock value. Like, I said something outrageous.
Yes.
They do that, but then the way they say it and the way they continue to say it and things, I think you probably know what scene I'm referring to.
Yes. There's a scene between Franco and Danny McBride.
That is,
it's like children, though. They're
yes.
Basically talking to each other like 2 7-year-olds.
They're being as filthy as possible, but they're doing it in such a juvenile way that then it becomes funny.
Right.
So, you know, I think that I have made my point about Seth Rogen a few times now, in that, you know, I didn't actually, like, he was, like, my least favorite part of Freaks and Geeks, and now, like, I pretty much love, I even liked Green Hornet. I enjoyed that
movie. I did, too.
And it's because I like Seth Rogen. I just do. I like him. There's something about him that really... just tickles my funny bone, Matt. I don't know. I like that guy.
Well...
And, you know, I think... To me, now... And he wasn't a weakest link, exactly, because he was kind of... I guess he served his purpose, but I don't understand Craig Robinson as a thing.
Well...
He's pleasant, and he's pretty funny, but, like, he's not that funny to me. And I don't quite understand why
funny,
he's, like,
but...
risen the ranks as, like... That he's, like, hanging with these, you know...
Well, he's likable.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's how they played him, too, in the movie, is that he's, like, the big, likable teddy bear guy. And that's basically what he does in the movie. And I think it's fine to have that guy. I don't think he can carry a movie by himself, but I don't think anybody's tried to so far, other than, like, Tyler Perry. But I mean, I think to me, what I expected might be a weak link was... Jay Baruchel, because
he's
been
your
okay
straight,
before.
But, he's your straight guy in this movie.
But he, I have to say, I've seen him in kind of a lot of stuff before, and this is easily his best performance as an actor that I've ever seen. I don't think he's ever done anything as impressive as this.
You know,
movie.
This is based on the short that was obviously written for him. So,
yeah.
Like, you know, this is, you
and
know.
He's playing Evan Goldberg, too, sort of, basically.
Well, he's his stand-in, you know.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, they knew what to do with him. This is a part written for him by his friends, like, you know. So, but I think it was, and actually, I was a little disappointed in, I didn't think Jonah Hill always is somebody that I think is really funny, and he didn't get given enough to do.
No, he was, well, everything that Jonah Hill was doing was a setup for it was a narrative. Yes. He was playing a narrative role. And, you know, yeah, he didn't get to be that funny. And the no question, out of the main cast, the comedy, you know, is driven by James Franco and Danny McBride. And they are so funny and so well used. Like, if you're going to put Danny McBride in a movie, and I know, like, he kind of plays the same thing every time, but this uses the Danny McBride character perfectly.
Yes. Well, I think that, I think you and I were talking about this, too, before, like, you know, at first you're like, oh, like, what a gimmick to, they're all playing themselves, but then it's like, well, if the story they want to tell is, like, what happens to famous people in the apocalypse, it would be dumb if they were like, hey, I'm Jay Slick, and I'm, right. you know, like, yeah, just be yourself, you're famous people, like... That's fine. Like, if that's the premise of it, it's, you know...
Play the thing you play. And you know, that's why...
And actually, there weren't that many insider-y jokes.
No, there weren't. There really weren't at all. And it's funny. Like, I probably, if I'm thinking about it, I probably like this movie more than any movie these guys have done other than Knocked Up.
What?
Yeah.
You like it more than Superbad?
No, I don't like it more than Superbad, so I take that back. But, I mean, like, if you think about, you know, Pineapple Express and Your Highness and...
I think everybody pretty much considers Your Highness to be a turd. I thought Pineapple Express.
Pineapple Express.
That was pretty funny.
Pineapple Express.
I laughed a lot during it. It didn't stick with me, but...
Well, here, where I'm going with this is that I think that in a lot of those other ones, it feels kind of lazy because they are playing kind of the same character all the time. And they're making some of the same joke. But in this one, that's supposed to be happening. And that's just the starting point. And then you can sort of, you know, we've talked about on here before, too, that I don't really like action comedy. Because usually the action is dumb. And it's just a sidetrack from the comedy. But what's happening here, first off, is the story is always moving forward. You know, even when there's not comedy happening. I would say the comedy is the sidetrack in this movie. And then when you get to the action stuff, it's really, really well done. They did a much better job in this than they did in some of those other movies, partly because the special effects are a lot better. But even when there's not special effects, like if it's just somebody's outside in the smoke trying to get around a corner to something, it's just handled well, and it's filmed in a very tense way, and, you know... I don't know. I just think, like, as a movie, it works really well. Even outside of the comedy.
I think part of what worked well about it is that I think a template that, you know, both action movies and, like, superhero movies, as we've talked about, happen. Like, you know, it's story, 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 and then last half is action. And so in a comedy situation,
yeah.
I think it would be like, joke, 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 okay, now this just got real. And, of course,
blow a bunch
the
of stuff
smart
up.
People... You know, the Edgar Wrights in the world, like, no, you gotta, if this
Edgar
is a comic,
so
I do
much.
Love him.
I know.
Of course I love
I
him
do
so
too.
Much.
I'm
but, like,
saying.
You know, you think about his films, like, there's, you
emotional
know,
resolution is happening.
Nope. Can you please let me finish my sentence? What I'm trying to say is that they continue to be funny all the way through the movie.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not like, okay, now it's the scary part. It's like, it's scary, but there's still little joke breaks. And, like, you think about, you know, when, spoiler, James Franco is set upon, and they leave, and he's getting eaten alive, and they're like, oh man, like, he was being, what was it that he was doing? Like, why, was he being vain? What, like, he should not have flicked him off, guy.
Right.
Like, that was like,
a sore,
this
a
is
sore
like
winner.
The apex of the, you know, scary stuff happening in this movie. That was, by the way, the windshield wiper. But they still, like, took a little joke break. And then, of course, you know, the ending was... over the top silly, but you know.
But that's what
it worked.
It felt
well.
Perfect though. Like that's what I wanted to see right then.
Exactly. And
why not indulge the audience after you've been sitting through all of that in the movie? Not that you've been like, not that it's been hard to watch, but just if that's where the movie ends, is it supposed to be the most absurdly happy ending possible in any story that you could ever tell? Do that. Like I would respect Lost more if the end of Lost.
Were people high-fiving in heaven?
Or, yes, it was just like, yeah, in a Backstreet Boys reunion.
Well, spoilers.
It's all spoilers, okay?
Yeah.
But, like, you know what I mean? If you're gonna, if the end, because, look, it is absurd to end a story, a written narrative, with all the characters going to heaven.
Right.
And so, but that had to happen here because of what they were doing. And so if you're going to do it, then just go all out and be really stupid and ridiculous with it.
I will say also, excellent use of I Will Always Love You.
Yes.
That was great. You're not going to be able to keep looping on this tiny bit of
I'm going to do it. I'm going to
no,
loop.
No, well, my point is...
Oh, it's going to look creepy, yeah.
It is creepy. Yeah. Frankly, I'm creeped out and I'm in the car.
Right.
Yeah, why don't you just keep, you know, drive on the road, not okay. just this one little cul-de-sac.
Well, yeah.
The police will be called pretty soon here.
So, also, though, we have to mention the Michael Cera bit, which I honestly... I feel like he could have done just a few cheap jokes of like, oh, it's Michael Cera, but he's doing coke or whatever. But he actually seemed to be like doing a character.
Yeah.
And it was really good. It was really funny.
He was like leaning at the waist.
Yes. Every,
and talking too close to everybody. Nope, this is not a cul-de-sac.
Every,
go forward. This is not...
I know. Like every,
you, is that why you were turning down the non-cul-de-sac road?
Every note. Every time Michael Cera had to speak or do anything... He was full on, like, method in a character, and it
I
was
believe,
really funny.
I heard Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg saying that the one thing he had to say about that role was that he was like, let me bring my own windbreaker.
Yes.
The and they were like, I don't know about that neon windbreaker. Like, that might not work. And he was like, just let me use this. And they did, and they were like, and it is brilliant. And it was an excellent choice
yeah.
of wardrobe, a neon block. Colored
yeah.
windbreaker.
I'm just having a hard time thinking of anything that I didn't like about this movie.
Well, no, it was a good time. I think, yeah.
It's just a good, hard R comedy, and it's not... It's hard for me to say what makes me like feel come away from it feeling so good, but like
it's about friendship.
Yeah, it is, and it's that's what you know. What it's a lot like Superbad in that way is that like it's like a bro comedy, and the,
I don't say bro.
The resolution of it is like two friends getting over their differences with each other, and it's like a sincere. Moment too, even though it's in this ridiculous comedy.
Yeah, well, that's, you know,
those guys are really good at that.
Yes. Well, I've been listening to a lot of interviews with Seth and Evan, and you know that they're like, that is basically what happened. Like, you know, Seth went to LA, Evan was still in Canada, and that was like, and Evan didn't really like all of Seth's friends, and it's basically like what happened to them minus the apocalypse part,
right?
So I think they write from, and they've been friends forever and ever, and so I think
they write very honestly.
A true, like, people who are good friends, an honest place, yes. They've been around each other for a long time.
Well.
And they're buddies.
Friends. Oh, last thing I want to ask you, yes. Since we're now in the garage.
And then I have a question for you.
Well, so, I think that the fact that this is a religious, this movie takes a piece of religious lore for granted and says, like, so it's dancing in a lot of religious territory. But to me, I didn't really feel like they were irreverent or... I mean, they were a little bit irreverent, obviously, but I didn't feel like it was offensive to Christianity, or I didn't think they were mocking it. Like, I think they were just using it as, like, okay, well, here's our narrative conceit.
Yeah. I don't think it was mocking either. And in fact, James Franco... saying that the Trinity was like Neapolitan ice cream was actually not very offensive. It was a good joke, but it was also like, that's pretty good.
Well, it was like, I don't know.
Well, look, people use clovers
yeah.
to explain it. Like, that was,
it was close.
A good one.
It was funny, though. But, yeah, they didn't, I feel like they could have, maybe some people would have said, if we're going to make a Revelations movie, we're going to just send it up and we're going to talk about how stupid people are for believing it. And if you think it's stupid, you would watch this movie and still think it's stupid and say, this is why it's stupid, because this is such a ridiculous movie. But they certainly didn't make any commentary about it. And I
well,
think
if you want the stakes to be high, then you can't go like, you know, you have to take it seriously. So
yeah.
It wouldn't have made sense narratively for them to be like, oh, we're too cool. Like, they need to be afraid, because that's the point of the story, is
yeah.
that they're afraid. So,
but I, even in a
it
way,
wouldn't have done any
it's
good.
Kind of like moral of the story is like,
be nice.
It's using that as like, yeah, if you want to have lasting friendships, you have to die to yourself, you know? You have to make sacrifices for your friends.
It's true. May I ask my question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you get the mail yet?
No, I did not get the mail.
Okay.
I also have to take the recycling out, so.
That is true.
Yeah.
Aww.
There's so much of it.
There is so much.
We recycle, really, though, guys. Did you know that? So, really, we're pretty much better than you, maybe, because we recycle.
You're so annoying. Please.
Anyways.
Goodbye. Thanks all? For listening. Tell your friends to listen.
Yeah. Because, share this on Facebook or Twitter.
Matt's little feelings are getting hurt that we don't have as many likers as we should.
As certain cookie companies.
Could you please tell the people where they can find Cinematrimony Podcast? Are they on iTunes?
It will soon be on iTunes when I can figure out the technical difficulty I'm having. And if you are really good with iTunes feeds, please email me at matt@filmnerds.com so that you can help me share our podcast on iTunes with other people, because I'm having some trouble.
I don't listen because it's not on iTunes. Also, I don't want to listen to this.
All right. Well,
thanks for
listening,
here.
Everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. When you take